You may be seated. Welcome to everyone. Whether you're here physically or you're joining us virtually, let us celebrate the physical birth of the one who has lived since the beginning and will reign forevermore. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Our first reading is from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. We've been waiting for 4 weeks to light that candle to officially proclaim the birth of our Lord and Savior. Our second reading from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 through 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midians, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Please rise for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is found in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told of them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to gather once again in your presence with fellow believers to glorify you, to praise your name, and to celebrate Jesus' birth. Amen. The message last Sunday, we got to hear about joy. It was one of the four Advent themes. We had learned about hope, peace, love, and then joy. And as Christians, we are to be people of joy. We are to be celebrating today the birth of a Savior, but to celebrate God's love for us and our opportunity to bear that love to others. And today, we hear about joy once again. You got shepherds out there in the field, and they're doing their thing. They've been doing this for a long time. You know, shepherds have been around for a long time, and these shepherds, we have to believe, were not rookies. They had been in the job for a while. They had spent many nights out there. How do you pass the time on night watch? You know, they didn't have any video games. They didn't have any cell phones to pass the time, any of that. Probably taking shifts. I know in the military, that's what we always did. You'd take shifts, and the two shifts that everybody wanted were the first shift, then the last shift. Because the first one, you do your shift, and you get to go sleep for the rest of the night. And the last shift, you only have to wake up once, and then you're up ahead of time. If you got like the midnight to one shift or something, you have to sleep for a while, get up, disrupted sleep, and then get up again, or try to get back to sleep again. You know, so they're maybe taking shifts, who knows? But they're out there enjoying a nice, calm, peaceful night as they had many times before, when suddenly a light and an angel. Wow. Okay, light. Today we're used to maybe light at night, you know, a floodlight or something like that, headlights of cars or something. We've seen lights at night. They had not. And this light just sort of floods everything, and an angel appears. And I can understand that they're upset, that they're afraid. They were in fear. And the angels words to them, don't be afraid. Fear not. I bring you good news of great joy. Again, joy. The joy is found throughout the readings here today as well. And their fright then turned to joy, I would imagine, after they got over the shock perhaps. But let us go back to the beginning of today's story. Let's page back to Isaiah. 700 years before Jesus came along. We have Isaiah here, and one of many prophets in the Old Testament, of course. There were many prophecies of Jesus' birth, and this is just one of them. You can find many people have said that there's upwards of 300, depending on how you interpret the prophecies. So there are many, many prophecies and foreshadowings of what would happen when Jesus was to be born, and this is just one of them. So this is 700 years before Jesus was born. King Ahaz was in control and corrupting Judah. As you read through the Old Testament, of course, you'll get through this king did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and this king did not do what was right, and Ahaz was definitely on the side of did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord. His father had followed God, but Ahaz turned all that upside down. It's sort of like they had made one step forward, now they're taking three steps back. Again, he was corrupting Judah. He was practicing idolatry, encouraging others to do so. He was colluding with the Assyrians. This was bad news. And there was indeed darkness. But that's where Isaiah steps in and saying, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. So this wasn't just for that time. This is for our time as well. We have the opportunity to see a light shining into our lives. We have all experienced darkness in one form or another in our lives. And darkness, there's different kinds, I guess, of that as well, too. We think of physical darkness. Yes, physical darkness is sort of scary, especially when you're young and you're going to go out and you got to go out to the barn or something and do chores and you grab a light to take with you, right? because you don't know what's out there in the dark. The darkness can be scary. Your imagination starts to run wild, thinking of what might be out there. The unknown. People have always feared the unknown, something that's strange or unusual. And people have been scared of being alone in the dark, although someone once observed it. You're not scared of being alone in the dark. You're scared of finding out you're not alone in the dark. Okay, that is perhaps what's more scary, huh? So we've all experienced that darkness, that physical darkness, the uncertainty that comes with it. But there's also spiritual darkness, which is actually just as terrifying. If you've ever walked in spiritual darkness, not acknowledging or knowing God is there with you, I can't imagine going through life like that. We have the light with us. We have a piece of God in each one of us. He lives in us. So we are carriers of the light. And we don't have to fear the darkness. We don't have to fear the physical darkness. We do not have to fear the spiritual darkness. But there are those out there who have not experienced Jesus yet, who are walking in darkness. And part of our job as Christians is to bring that presence to them, to bring them the hope, to bring them the peace, to let them know that they are loved and that they matter and that eternal life is there. It's a job that we all have, to bring that light, to be that comfort to others. Jesus is referred to as the light in our reading in John today as well. In verses 4 and 5, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. He is the light unto us. He showed us the way. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it, or else you could read, has not overcome it. Now, as I've said a number of times before, there's no such thing as darkness according to physics. Darkness is the absence of light. And every time when you get to the unit on electromagnetic energy, when I'm teaching that, my day job as a physics teacher and chemistry teacher, I just start smiling inside, just wishing that I could tell my students that, you know, there's no such thing as darkness, and that where there is just a little bit of light, that light overcomes the darkness. Darkness can't overcome light. You can be in a dark room, you strike a match, guess what? It lights up, right? Because the light overcomes darkness every single time. It's just the nature of things here. So the light has not, or the darkness has not overcome it, but also has not understood it. A lot of those people living in darkness out there, again, have not experienced the light. They have not experienced the hope, the peace, and the joy, and the comfort that Jesus brings. Not only bringing that, but bringing life is what it says here as well. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. His life was the light of men. He came to bring us life, new life, and life abundant. In his time with Nicodemus, he told him, you must be born again. You must have new life, and it's possible. And once you receive that new life, it changes everything, your view on life, everything around you. Now all of a sudden you have hope. You have a promise for the future. You're experiencing God's love. That new life is a source of excitement, again, that we should be sharing with others. Life is precious. Looking at Grayson back there, as his mom's holding him and just sort of walking him back and forth, and he's being so nice and quiet. Is he precious or what? He is. All life is precious. Since before birth, all life is precious. It's a gift from God. We all have life. Life is some sort of weird spark. Without it, we'd be an inanimate object, but we have life that's been given to us from our parents, from God, of course, creator of life, author of life. And then we, then if you get married and have kids, have a chance to pass on that spark of life too. It's a really cool thing. We can't manufacture life. We can't make it. We can do a lot of things with chemicals, you know, mixing them together, but we cannot make it alive by scientific means. This life is a gift. It's precious. It's from God, and we need to value life. Life is not something to be trifled with. Anybody that has life, that life is valuable to God. Doesn't matter what kind of sinner you are, what kind of mistakes you've made, your life is valuable to God. And he wants you to honor him with your life, to be that living sacrifice that we read about in Romans. So we need to stand up for life as Christians. And think about the life that we have been given, the new life that we have been given in Jesus as well. That's one of the reasons he came to Bethlehem here, to grow up among us, to live among us, to bring us that new life. Along with that, the prophet also mentions promises. Isaiah mentions promises that will be associated with this kingdom when it comes. That there will be an end of war. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. An end of war. When Jesus reigns, when he comes again in his full reign, an end to that, an end to the evils of that as well. No more need for armies. No more need for borders, any of these things. One king, eternal reigning over everything. Amen. Can't wait for that. So yes, he came and he's coming again. And that's the other part of the good news. We're going to see that. And whether we're here alive when he comes again, or if we're among the dead that are raised at his second coming, we get to witness to that and we get to reign with him, which is very humbling, and I definitely don't feel equipped for that job. But with God, all things are possible, right? It also mentions some characteristics of this prophesied person that's coming, this light, calling him Wonderful Counselor. A counselor is someone that guides, provides guidance, a guidance counselor. And it is there for you, there to listen to you, and to help you make good decisions. Sounds like Jesus to me. Sounds like the Holy Spirit to me. God the Father, the triune God, there for us. The Holy Spirit called the Comforter, right? To be there for us and with us, and to help us make good choices. Built in each one of us, we know the difference between right and wrong when it comes down to it. Some things you just plain know are wrong. I don't care what civilization you're from, what time period you're from. People are born with an innate sense of right and wrong. Now, that can be influenced by cultures. It can be influenced by media and all kinds of other things. But we should know what's right and wrong because of God living within us. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. God Almighty. In human form. Dependent on humans. And that's just mind-blowing. Okay, again, you look at Grace or any baby. They're dependent on us. And Jesus came into the world as a baby, dependent on humans. How backwards is that? We're dependent on him. But he, for a while, humbled himself to the point where he was dependent on Mary and Joseph. Also called Everlasting Father. And this one threw me for a bit of a loop. You know, we're talking about Jesus here, Everlasting Father. Okay, you start thinking God the Father. Now you got to get out of that mindset on this one. And researching it, they use the example of George Washington, called the Father of the Country. Okay, different kind of father, right? The author and perfecter of our faith, the Father of our faith, that's Jesus we're talking about here. So Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. There's a whole sermon on that one as well. It continues, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Reigning on David's throne from the house and lineage of David, like we learned about in Luke today, and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. Alrighty. Anybody else rage against the injustices in the world? Yeah. I mean, that's one of the reasons Jill and I started doing foster care years ago, because of the injustice that these kids are suffering because of other people's decisions. It's not right. It's not just. It's not fair that little kids should have lifelong problems because of someone else's decisions and choices and injustice. But when Jesus comes again to reign, he'll reign with justice and righteousness, and there will be no wrongs. And he will do what is right. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is good stuff to look forward to, okay? It was great looking forward to Jesus coming the first time, and now we're looking forward to the second time when all of this will happen, when he will reign with justice and eternally, and everything will be good. If that doesn't get you excited, amen. Looking forward to that. Amen indeed. So he came that first time. The shepherds were told he had come. So the shepherds respond to the news, like we should respond to the news of Jesus coming the first time and coming again. So they respond by rushing off to Bethlehem. They run. They're excited. They hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Now, how do they find him? You come into town, okay, there's lots of barns, there's lots of mangers. How do we find the right one? You ever think about that? How do they find the right one? Well, has God led you through some things in your life? Making a way where it seems impossible? And somehow God led them, who knows how, but he led them to the right place where they found the baby Jesus and they fell down and worshiped him. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. So after they leave then, now what do? They go out and start spreading the word. Guess what? Guess what's happened? Guess what we've seen? Joy is not meant to be contained. Joy is meant to be shared. They have an extreme joy here. They go out and they're telling everybody that they see, everybody they meet, about what had happened. And we are to go and do likewise. We should be sharing Jesus with everybody that we meet as well. Through our words, through our actions, through our life, and through our new life, the new life that we have in him. That new life should point to him. Everything that we do, those that knew us before, they're going to say, hey, a change is taking place in that person. What's up with that? Well, it's new life, this life abundant that Jesus offers. When that fills you up, there is excitement. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So I would encourage you to do the same as well, to go on your way like the shepherds, glorifying and praising God for all you have heard and seen, and for all he's done for you. Amen.